Chapter 5. The already messy situation quickly turns into pandemonium as everyone tries to jump the turnstiles at once. Screams bounce off the tile subway walls, blending in with the screeching alarm. People fall and don't get back up, trampled. Others are wedged against walls or turnstiles. I realize that I'm probably not going to make it onto the tracks, unless I unleash my power on these folks and carve a path by pushing everyone out of my way, and I'd probably end up crushing half of them if I did that. I don't know how I can help. But if some aliens with heavy firepower start down the stairs, I'm screwed. We're all screwed, because while I might be able to take out a couple of bastards in a park or on the street, fighting down here in close quarters with a ton of people around is a whole different thing. So I climb back up to the street level, figuring I'll just keep running down to the next stop. The bleeding guy wasn't lying. A few blocks up, about 10 aliens have broken off from the rest of the fighting and are marching down Broadway, blasters out in front of them. I turn and start for a side street, when out of the corner of my eye, I see a bunch of people all rushing through the open doors of an MTA bus. One of the giant ones that looks like two buses shoved together. "Come on!" I hear someone yell as she pulls a kid half my height onto the bus. "We're getting out of here!" I'm over 100 blocks away from where I need to be. The trains are down. I can't run all the way downtown. Not with evil aliens lurking around every corner waiting to take me prisoner or shoot me full of lasers or whatever. Despite the voice screaming in my head that this might be a bad idea, I sprint towards the bus. I get on just as the doors close behind me. There are maybe 2 dozen people huddled together in the seats in various states of shock. A woman a few seats from me cranks the handle on a little emergency radio while trying to find a broadcast, to no avail. At the front of the bus, 2 guys are crouched in front of the steering wheel. I hear the firing of weapons on the street, somewhere way too close to us. "Go!" I shout. "Go, go, go! Downtown! Just drive!" One of the guys at the front glances back at me and sneers, but doesn't say anything. "We don't have keys," one of the people in the seat says. "They're trying to hotwire it." "You've gotta be shitting me," I mutter, wishing I'd kept on running. Now I'm trapped on a bus, bad guys about to show up at any second. My fists clench at my sides. These people have no idea how lucky they are that I got on board. I shove my face up against the back doors, trying to get a look at the approaching aliens, but the way the bus is angled makes it hard for me to see up the street. I glance at the front of the bus over my shoulder. The men are talking excitedly, but I can't hear what they're saying. Suddenly, there's a rumble that shakes the floor. At first I think it's from an explosion, but then I feel cold air being pumped in through the AC. They've got the engine started. That's when I turn back to the doors and see the gnarly gray teeth of one of the aliens. He's got his blaster pointed right at me. I shout in surprise, and my hands go up. Before I realize what I'm doing, I can feel the power pouring out of my body. The door to the bus rips off, slamming into the Mogadorian and sending him sailing through a coffee shop window across the street. I fall on my ass. Some of the other people inside the bus start screaming too and rushing away towards the front. And then we're moving. Slowly at first, but quickly accelerating. A few electric shots bounce off the side of the bus, but we get away. "They've got ships!" I shout as I try to get to my feet. "We gotta get off Broadway!"
"I'm working on it!"
the man behind the wheel shouts back at me. Right on cue, we take a sharp turn. It feels like the bus is going to tip over for a few terrifying seconds. I slide across the floor, knocking my head against one of the handrails. I'm pretty sure the wheels on the left side actually come off the ground, but we level out, taking half a dozen side mirrors off cars parked on the street as we race by. I grip onto one of the poles, trying to pull myself upright.
"Where are we going?"
someone asks.
Riverside to Hudson, the driver yells. It's the fastest way down.
Down. It's the only word I need to hear. Air rushes by the hole where the doors used to be, filling the bus with a low roar. When we get to the road that runs along the Hudson River, there are burning cars all along the sides of the park. It looks as though something blew them up. I wonder if the aliens took one of their spaceships and just flew down the highway, blasting everyone who tried to escape when they first appeared. For a moment, I'm thankful for whatever cleared the road for us, and then I shudder at the thought. Taking prisoners, destroying buildings and cars, killing who knows how many people. What the hell do these douchebags want? My body is sore all over, and I let myself sink into one of the seats lining the side of the bus to catch my breath. A few of the other passengers are staring at me. Maybe they're wondering if I was the reason the doors flew off. The last thing I want to do is try to explain what's going on with me, since I have no damn clue myself. And I definitely don't need another group wanting me to keep them safe. So I pull out my phone and try to ignore them. Still no signal. Still no messages. And my battery's starting to get low. There's a pulsing pain in my head, and I rub my temples to try to make it stop. If anything, I think I actually make it worse. So instead, I lean my head back against the window and try to take a few deep breaths and figure out what the hell is going on. That's when I see it for the first time with my own eyes. The giant spaceship that's hovering over the middle of Manhattan. The one that was all over the news. I knew it was big, but seeing it in person is totally different from watching it on our crappy TV. It blots out part of the sky. It's hard to even imagine how something that size was built. I can make out things that look like weapons sticking out from its hull. Holy shit, I murmur. And there's such a sinking feeling in my stomach that I have to clamp a hand over my mouth, scared that I'm going to hurl. Mom, she's so small compared to that thing. We all are. What if... But I don't have much time to worry about what kind of damage the ship has already done to the city. Our driver starts yelling.
Shit! It looks like something went down at the Lincoln Tunnel. Oh, Jesus, it looks like it got blown up. We'll have to try the Holland.
The driver keeps cursing, and people start to shake their heads and mutter about how we're all going to die. It takes me a little while to realize what this means. The Lincoln Tunnel. They're headed down, but not downtown, just to a way off the island. I get to my feet and walk to the front of the bus so I can try to talk them into going towards the financial district, or at least letting me off before I end up stranded in Jersey. Through the front windshield, I can see a pileup of cars all sprawled out in front of the Lincoln Tunnel ahead of us. Several of them are burning. A couple look like they've been completely mangled. It looks like two of the tunnels have collapsed, brick and dust spilling out of them. My stomach twists as I wonder how many cars might have been inside it when they were destroyed. There are plenty of people around. They climb over the piled-up cars, disappearing into the darkness of the remaining tunnel. Desperate to get out of the city I'm working so hard to get deeper into. The driver doesn't slow down even though cars jam the street. Instead, he just slams on the horn, causing people to scatter as we race towards them. We take the bumper off a taxi, and then clip the front of a little red sports car. The bus shakes and I have to hold onto the rails above me to keep from tumbling back.
Dude, we can't get through there, the other guy who helped with the hot wiring says. Take a side street or something. Everybody hold on, the driver shouts as he shakes his head.
This isn't your taxi. Are you sure you know how to handle this thing?
I see a path, but it's gonna be tight. Besides, you really want to risk going through Midtown? You saw the news, right?
Midtown's a war zone.
Yeah, but...
The other guy notices me coming to the front.
What do you want?
Just seeing if I can help, I murmur.
Are you crazy, girl? Sit back down and hold on.
We're gonna...
I stop listening and try to focus on the cars we're rushing up on. Maybe I'm powerful enough that I can push them out of the way. Maybe I can help get us through this. Then I'll worry about where we're going. I don't know if it's because we're moving so fast, or that the cars are too heavy, or that I'm too far from them. Whatever it is, they don't budge. I concentrate harder, ignoring the pounding in my head. Focus, Danny. If you can help clear the path, you're that much closer to Mom. The right side of the windshield suddenly breaks, fracturing like a spider web. The left windshield is separated by a piece of metal and is fine, but the driver still swerves a little, startled. He hits the side of a stalled-out car, sending me falling back into the laps of some of the passengers. So much for helping.
Here we go!
He shouts. He leans on the horn again as we blow through more parked cars. The passengers cry out. The woman whose lap I've fallen into holds me close, but I don't know if it's because she's trying to keep me from being thrown to the ground or because she's just scared out of her mind. I don't see what we hit, but I feel every impact. Everything around us lurches and shakes, but hardly slows down. Sparks fly into the back of the bus through the opening where the door was. Somehow, we make it through. The driver lets out a whoop as we hit clearish road again.
All right, he says. Everyone pray that the Holland Tunnel is clear. We're getting the fuck out of the city.
Hold up, I say, getting to my feet again. I'm not going to Jersey.
Don't be stupid. We can't stay here.
I have to get downtown. My mom...
Kid?
He cuts me off, but he doesn't finish his sentence. Instead, he just points to the massive spaceship over Midtown. The bus has done a fine job of getting me farther downtown, so I really hesitate to cause a scene or yell at the driver. On the other hand, the only person I have left in the world is somewhere down by Wall Street, and I've got a badass superpower. I don't have to take no for an answer. Stop the bus before you get to the tunnel, I say firmly, calmly. I'm getting off. The driver laughs a little.
Like hell you are.
He glances at me.
There are aliens attacking the goddamn city. I'm not slowing down until that ship is a speck in the rearview mirror.
The other guy standing beside him looks at me with shifty eyes. I can see him wondering if he's going to have to push me back to the rear of the bus, if I'm going to be a problem. Over his shoulder, through the cracked windshield, I see a sign for the Holland Tunnel whiz by. I don't want to have to make this a thing, I say.
Then don't,
the driver responds. Damn it, I mutter. I could try to brake the bus myself, but I'm afraid I'd slam on the pedal too hard and send us careening off into the Hudson. So instead, I lock eyes with his friend so that he knows exactly what I'm doing. Then, I push one hand out. If I concentrate hard enough, I bet I can break the cracked window and control the glass, or plastic, or whatever it is that the windshield is made of. Show off my power. The people might think I'm a crazy alien, but at least they'll listen to me. They'll have to go. Hold on! A voice shouts from the back of the bus. At first, I think she's talking to me, that she somehow figured out what I'm about to do. But then I realize it's the woman with the emergency radio. She rushes toward the front, warnings pouring out of her mouth. The Holland Tunnel is out, too. I can hear a man's voice crackling through the radio in her hands the closer she gets. It sounds like all the tunnels in the city are either blocked or collapsed. The bridges are the only way out. There's a big evacuation site at the Brooklyn Bridge they're telling people to go to if their homes have been destroyed.
Are you sure that's right?
Someone asks, voice shaking.
Maybe the tunnel's been cleared up since then, or...
The bus suddenly jerks, brakes squealing as we slow down rapidly. I turn my attention back to the front and see that a few blocks ahead of us, the highway is littered with abandoned cars. Some of them are smoking. Others have been overturned. Flames reflect off the water of the Hudson River. Something bad happened here.
Damn it, the driver says. Damn it, damn it, damn it!
It gets quiet in the bus, except for the sound of the man on the radio. Static keeps interrupting him as he talks about how none of the other boroughs have been hit yet, only Manhattan. Then suddenly everyone's talking, trying to figure out what to do. The woman with the radio stares at the driver.
What do we do now?
He shakes his head a little as he goes over his options in his head. Finally, he puts his foot on the gas again, and we all jerk back as the engine revs.
We're heading for the Williamsburg Bridge, he says.
But the Brooklyn Bridge is where... the woman starts.
Yeah, which means the streets down there are probably a shit show. We've got to get out of the city, and that's our best bet. Once we're across, we can cut down through Staten Island to Jersey and get as far away as we can. I doubt Staten Island's on the hit list.
He doesn't wait for a response, just takes a sharp left turn and barrels down a side street, threatening to tip the bus over again. I try to go over geography in my head as we cut through narrow streets with names instead of numbers. I don't know this part of the city well at all, and it's not like I can use the map on my phone since there's no signal. I try to make sense of things. Tunnels are out. An evacuation spot off the Brooklyn Bridge. Mom's work wasn't too far away from that. It's possible she might have headed that way. But she wouldn't have just gone off to Brooklyn and left me with Benny, right? My head starts to pound again, jumbling my thoughts and making it hard to concentrate. I start back down the aisle, looking for a bus map or something hanging on the walls, asking no one in particular if they know where we are. But there's so much shell shock in the damn bus that no one answers me. We take a few more sharp turns, slowing down a little each time. The driver seems to know these streets well and keeps us moving. Eventually, we're shooting down Houston. And I keep my eyes on the signs at every block we pass until I finally see a cross street I recognize. Bowery. It's almost a straight shot to where Mom works if I follow it downtown. Once I met her at the restaurant, and we walked all the way up to Central Park just because it was a nice day. And I remember taking Bowery for a part of the trip. I'm about to yell for the bus driver to stop when he slams on the brakes anyway. A few people scream, and it's only then that I see it. One of the alien ships sits in the intersection a block ahead of us. I don't see any pale monsters around, but still, they've got to be close. The driver looks around nervously as the passengers grow louder, people yelling at him to go, or turn, or reverse, or that this is the end and we're all going to die. Abandoned cars and debris cut off the side streets on our right, so the driver makes a quick decision and guns it, turning left onto First Avenue, shouting something back to the rest of us about going another way around the ship. His hands are gripped on the steering wheel, and sweat is pouring down his face. I think the dude's about to lose it. But more importantly, we're heading uptown now, farther away from Wall Street, farther away from Mom. If I can just get back to Bowery, I know how to get down to her. And so, when he slows the bus to turn right on 4th Street, I take a deep breath and step to the empty space where I blew the doors off the bus earlier.
Good luck in Brooklyn, I murmur.
I jump onto the road, stumbling a few steps before slamming into the side of a parked car and catching myself. The bus doesn't stop. It just drives off without me. I make sure that I'm not hurt or anything, and then I start to sprint, back towards Bowery, hoping that the aliens from the ship we just saw are busy somewhere off in another direction. I'm getting closer and closer to Mom, step by step, inch by inch, but it gets harder and harder. As I turn the corner, my lungs are full of fire. My heart pounds, and my legs scream out for me to stop. On top of that, the throbbing in my head is starting to get to me. It's a weird kind of pain I've never felt before. I'm not even sure it's pain. More like a building pressure behind my eyes. What's happening? The streets are pretty empty, and suddenly I feel so alone. Where is everyone? Maybe this area has been evacuated. Or maybe... What if the aliens from that ship have been through here already and rounded everyone up? Doubt starts to creep into my head. I'm finally getting closer, but what am I supposed to do if she's not there? What do I do if she's gone? Tears sting the corners of my eyes, threatening to spill as I approach a big intersection. That's when I see a dozen Mogadorians marching into the street, and my whole pity party comes to an abrupt end. I stop, almost falling down. I put my arms out, trying to balance, and end up letting off some kind of force wave that knocks a trash can into the street. Crap. I dart inside the nearest building, a bank, hoping the aliens didn't notice. I back away from the door slowly, keeping my eyes on it, my hands stretched out in front of me, ready to use my powers. It's pretty dark inside, and my eyes slowly start to adjust. I wonder if the lights are off, or if the electricity's been knocked out. I should have been paying more attention to stuff like that on the street. I should have... A voice comes from behind me. I turn around, keeping my hands raised, ready to dust some aliens. Instead, there are three figures wearing ski masks. Humans. Two of them are in the back, stuffing cash into a duffel bag. The other's just a yard away from me, his eyes wide, mouth hanging open in confusion. He's pointing a gun at my face. Chapter 6. I get ready to knock this guy backwards as tears start to stream down my cheeks, brought on by a mixture of exhaustion and the thought that in the middle of an alien invasion, I might get killed by some punk human.
Don't cry, the man murmurs.
Despite the tears, I manage to laugh a little at the guy who's telling me to get a hold of myself while holding a gun to my face. Luckily, I don't have to go all Jedi on him. His buddies interrupt.
What the fuck, Jay?
One of the guys from the back says.
She's just a kid.
Jay lowers the gun, his hands shaking.
Sorry,
he says quietly. He doesn't sound too much older than me. Maybe in his 20s. The reality of the situation dawns on me. The city is being invaded by aliens, and you assholes are robbing a bank? I say loud enough for all three of them to hear me.
Hey,
Jay says, defensive.
We're just trying to make the most of a bad situation.
All the sadness that had taken me over morphs into rage. I spit venom out of my mouth before I even realize that I'm shouting.
Do you have any idea what it's like out there? My stepdad just got murdered trying to protect me. I have no idea what's happened to my mom. I'm pretty sure I saw a bunch of people get trampled in the subway by dudes just trying to escape. Not killed by aliens, but by other people. Who knows how many have been killed by these alien bastards? And you want to tell me that making the best of this situation is you and your boys robbing a bank while all this is going down? How can you be so selfish? Jesus, you could be helping people get out of the city or something.
My thoughts immediately go back to everyone I've left behind. Everyone I haven't protected or fought for because I've been trying to get downtown. The neighbors on my block. The group I left at the church. Hell, even the people on the bus, who for a second I was going to force to take me downtown. My head starts shaking, and the tears well up again because even though I know I should be going to find Mom, there's a voice in my head telling me I should be taking my own advice. That of course she wants to see me and be reunited, but that helping other people is just as important. Maybe more. I should be trying to do some good where I can. Jay looks at me with wide eyes,
Like this is all stuff that might have been in the back of his mind already. And he's furious with himself and with me for bringing it up. His two friends don't seem to care, though, because once their duffel bag is full, they slap him on the back and nod towards the door.
"We're done,"
the guy with the bag says. I wipe my eyes, feeling stupid for crying in front of them.
"Maybe you forgot, but there's a bunch of aliens out there," I mutter.
"Go outside, and you're toast."
"I'm not sitting on top of all this money and waiting to get caught."
"We run across them, we'll take them out," the other dude says, holding up another gun.
"No, like, they're right outside." I try to talk some sense into them. "That's why I ducked in here in the first place. There's a dozen of those pale freaks."
"Maybe we should hole up in here for a little while until the coast is clear,"
Jay says. He peeks out the window, but from here he can't see far down the block.
"Dude, our car is just around the corner," the third guy says. "We get in, we punch it, and we're out of the city in 10 minutes with an assload of cash."
"Don't be stupid," he points to me.
"The next person who comes in might not be some dumb girl. It might be cops, or the National Guard or some shit. You want to be standing around like this when they get here?"
I somehow manage to keep my cool and not slam him against the wall. "I'm betting the cops have more important things on their minds than you right now." I turn to Jay. "Don't say I didn't warn you." My mom's voice might be telling me to slow down and help people, but I'm guessing she'd take exception to these fools. If they want to get wasted stealing a bunch of cash, that's their problem, not mine. The guy who's not holding the duffel bag lets out a big, exaggerated groan and pushes past Jay. In seconds, he's out on the sidewalk looking around. He calls back to the others inside.
"Street's empty!"
He waves his gun around.
"Come on, you bitches!"
Jay gives me one last look and then makes for the exit. They're a few steps away from the door when the guy outside yells and fires off a few rounds farther up the street. Some kind of blast rips through the guy outside. He drops like a rock. Suddenly, the street gets bright. A light drops down from above and shines into the bank, blinding me. I raise my arm to cover my eyes and back away out of instinct. It takes me a second to realize that it's not just a spotlight hovering in the air, pouring light inside. It's a ship.
Holy shit, get that!
I don't get to finish the sentence. An electronic sizzling fills the air as the small ship fires on us. The windows shatter. I hit the ground hard, army crawling to cover, behind a kiosk in the middle of the bank. Jay and the other guys stay standing, guns drawn, firing at the light.
Idiots.
I shout at them again, but it's no use. Jay doesn't last long. Some kind of light bursts through his chest, different from the electric shots I saw earlier. I wince. The guy with the duffel bag turns to run, but he doesn't get far before he's taken out too, the bag sliding across the floor towards the back. 3 people dead. Just like that. I lie motionless, hoping there's not some kind of heat-seeking missile or something on the ship that can find me. Maybe if I don't move, don't even breathe, I'll be okay. Then I hear the footsteps. A group of aliens, probably the ones I saw earlier, are congregating outside. Shit, shit, shit. They bark at each other in their weird language. Then one of them steps forward, creeping through the shattered window. He's dressed in black tactical gear like the others and has spiraling tattoos that run from the top of his shaved head to down behind his ears. His boot kicks Jay, who doesn't respond. He does the same thing with the other guy, who's also toast. I pray that he's just going to turn around and leave. Instead, he keeps wandering farther back into the bank, his weapon drawn, looking for other people. I make myself as small as possible, curling into a ball against the kiosk. But I'm not small enough. He's coming from the back of the bank when he glances over and locks eyes with me. I'm screwed. My hands shoot forward, and the alien flies, slamming into the back wall of the bank hard enough that he turns into a cloud of alien dust. I can hear voices from the front again, and I peek around the kiosk to see two other freaks stepping forward, blasters out. My mind races. I don't know if the kiosk can handle much more damage. There may be a way out the back or something, but if the ship starts blasting again, I'm probably dead. I try to prioritize and deal with the closest danger. With a wave of my hand, the guns the two Mogadorians in front are carrying fly away, thrown back into the street. There's a moment of stunned silence from the rest of them before the others start firing into the bank without any real target. I wave my hands again, and the two unarmed aliens float in front of the rest of their troop, shielding me from gunfire long enough that I can bolt to a spot behind a leather sofa, farther back inside, and at least put some distance between me and the monsters. But the alien shields don't hold up for long before they turn to dust too, so I send a desk flying out towards the blaster fire. I think I even hit a couple of the bastards. Maybe I stand a chance against these dudes after all. That's when I realize the ship is repositioning to shoot into the bank again. I can hear some sort of whirring that sounds like an engine warming up. And I'm hiding behind a dinky couch. I swallow hard. My head pounds. "Mom," I whisper as I raise my hands in front of my face. A fireball flies through the air from somewhere down the block. There's an explosion, and suddenly, the street goes dark. Chapter 7. With the spotlight out, I'm suddenly blind as my eyes try to readjust to the darkness. Blaster fire sizzles against the leather sofa, and I duck down, pressing myself as flat onto the floor as I can in case the ship's guns go off. The world slowly comes back into focus in the inch of space between the floor and the couch that I can see through. Weapons fire constantly, though there seem to be fewer and fewer of them. I peek around the couch just in time to see what looks like some dude. I think it's a dude. He's just a shadow to me, hanging on the edge of the alien ship. He must have a flamethrower or something, because fire is filling the cockpit. Then he leaps off it, landing on the street again while the ship spins and crashes into a building across from the bank. It's some real Spider-Man shit. There's a big explosion, and I duck down again, covering my head. I think this guy just saved my life. I wonder if it's the army that's finally come to annihilate these pale motherfuckers. Whoever it is must have won, because I don't hear any more of the alien weapons going off, and I can make out voices from the street that sound human. Okay, so I'm not dead. That's good. I'm also not that far away from Mom's restaurant. Or at least I'm a lot closer than I was an hour ago. Slowly, I stand, keeping my eyes on the street outside. After a few small steps, I almost trip over the duffel bag full of money that the robber had been carrying. I stare at it for a second, and suddenly my head is flashing back to the last time I saw my mom, arguing with her about Benny and keeping our apartment. Even though I don't think any of that matters now, if our apartment is still there at all, I pick up the bag. I know I gave Jay and the others shit about being felons when the city's going to hell, but this totally isn't the same thing. It's a lucky break. I'm not going to just leave, like, hundreds of G's on the floor here. Mom and I might need it to survive. And isn't that what all of this has been for? Us living through this and starting over? When I find Mom, this cash means we could go anywhere, do anything we wanted, go somewhere far away from all these ships, even if the world does go to hell. Only now, I look like a robber. If it's the army that saved me, they may not even know I'm in here. They were probably just killing any aliens they came across. If that's the case, maybe I can sneak out the back. I sling the duffel bag over my shoulder, right as two figures come into view, silhouetted in the broken window. I duck back down behind the sofa.
"Just keep walking,"
I whisper.
"Hey, it's all clear out here,"
one of them says. Crap. They must have seen me. Stupid. Then, a light comes on. I think it's a flashlight or really powerful phone at first, but when I peek around the sofa, it looks like it's actually coming from this guy's hands. I can see just a glimpse of his face and blonde hair. Something about him looks familiar, but I'm not sure why.
"Nine?"
he asks. Then his voice lowers a bit, getting kind of an edge to it.
"Five?"
That's when it dawns on me why I know this guy. He's the dude who was fighting the big ugly alien on TV. He's like a legit superhero. The good alien from that cheesy as hell YouTube video they kept playing on the news. John Smith. Maybe he knows what's going on. Maybe he knows why I can suddenly move stuff by waving my hands around. I take a step forward, into the light coming out of his palms. It feels warm. Which had better not mean it's got radiation or some weird alien stuff in it that's going to make me sick one day. My eyes have to readjust again. When they do, I can make out the other figure coming up to John's side. He's kind of a scrawny, indie band-looking sort of dude. Not John, though. He's tall and buff, even though he looks younger now that he's in front of me and not on the news. He's probably the most famous person in the world right now, other than the aliens. It's kind of weird that he's standing there looking at me like I'm a surprise. "You're him," I say, taking a few more small steps forward. "You're the guy from TV." He turns off his flashlight hands and gets a weird look on his face. I can't tell if he's relieved or disappointed to see me.
"I'm John," he says.
They ask me some questions about other people being in here with me, but I'm pretty sure they aren't talking about any of the robbers. Both the guys look at me like I'm about to pull a knife on them or something. Then I show them that I've got powers too, by floating the gun from the alien I smashed against the wall over to me. That definitely changes their expressions. They seem surprised, not about the powers themselves, but that I have them. I've seen John do some crazy stuff on TV, and he and his buddy just took down a whole squad of monsters from space, plus their ship. I wonder if they know why I suddenly have telekinesis, their word for what I can do. I try to make sense of everything as we talk. I'm a human, but I've got the same powers John and his friend have. Benny didn't have them. None of the other scared people I met tonight have them. But I do. Which means that either I'm just the luckiest, or maybe unluckiest, I don't really know yet, girl in the city. Or there's a reason I've been turned into a superhero. It seems like someone, or something, chose me specifically. I just can't figure out why. It's time I got some answers. "So, can I ask why you picked me?" I raise my eyebrows and look back and forth between them. The scrawny guy's mouth just hangs open like I've asked him to fly me to the moon. John's eyebrows are scrunched together.
"Picked you?"
he asks. "Yeah, fool, as in why do I have alien powers?" A bunch of questions fly out of my mouth, but neither of them seems to have any idea why I'm a mutant now. So what gives? If they don't know, then who would? John's got other things on his mind.
"It's not safe here," he says.
He looks so earnest, eyes all big as he nods.
"You should come with us."
It's not like I can just follow these guys. I still have to find Mom. Besides, if they're out fighting aliens, Moogs, as they call them, that means joining up with them would probably put me on the front lines of this attack. I'm not exactly thrilled by this idea. Is it gonna be safe wherever you're going? I ask.
No. Obviously not.
What John means is that this particular block is going to be crawling with Moogs any minute now, the lanky one says, as he starts walking away from the bank looking really skittish. Watching him makes me start to worry. Like maybe he knows something I don't.
Your sidekick's nervous, I say to John.
My name's Sam,
the other guy says. You're a nervous guy, Sam.
I bite the insides of my cheeks, trying to make heads or tails of what I should do. They're right. We probably shouldn't be hanging out where a whole squad of bad aliens just got blown away. Even though they don't have any answers for me, they're the closest thing I've got to any sort of explanation of what's going on. And they're obviously powerful. They took down a ship. Maybe they could actually help me get to Mom. And there's something about John. It's hard to explain, but I feel drawn to him. It's got nothing to do with his piercing eyes or cheekbones. The dude's totally not my type. It's something else, on a deeper level. I feel connected to him somehow. When he talks about doing good and fighting, I hear my earlier words to Jay in my head. But when he starts talking about me helping him win some war and finding some buddy of his, I realize how far away they would take me from Mom. I don't even know these guys. It's not like I can trust them to help me out if I say I'll join them. Besides, I know it hasn't been all that long since these Moogs appeared out of nowhere and ruined everyone's lives, but the military is probably gearing up to take back the city right now. They'll be flying in on jets and parachuting down into Central Park by the thousands, guns blazing.
Seriously? I ask. I'm not fighting any war, John Smith from Mars. I'm trying to survive out here.
This is America, yo. The army will take care of these weak-ass dust aliens. They got the drop on us. That's all.
John looks confused about this. I'm getting the feeling he's not exactly someone that others say no to a lot. I'm betting some people really fall for his whole Superman routine. But before he can argue with me, there's an explosion somewhere a few blocks away. I'm almost knocked down by it. Car alarms start going off on the street. Over the rooftops, I can see a bunch of smoke rising into the air. My grip tightens around the Moog weapon I've still got in my hand. John starts in on his pitch again, trying to tell me how it's my duty to help them, and that I should go with them to Brooklyn or something. Everybody is trying to force me out of the city. But I'll worry about a safe zone when I know I've done everything to find Mom. Outside, explosions keep going off. I point a finger at John. A little bit of my telekinetic energy pushes him back, which seems to shut him up. My stepdad got roasted by those pale scumbags, and now I'm out here looking for my mom, alien guy. She worked down here. You saying I should drop all that and join your army of two? Running around my city that you played a part in getting blown up? You saying the friend you're looking for is more important than my mom? Another explosion outside. Sam says something, but I've got my eyes locked on John's and don't really pay attention to his friend. Then there's movement in the sky that I catch out of my peripheral, and I turn to see the big-ass ship floating into view. Some kind of energy starts to charge up on a cannon-looking thing sticking out of the bottom of its hull. We're totally in its target zone.
Hell with this, I say, and start running away from the ship. Famous alien superhero or not, I'm not going to stand around with John Smith and get blown up.
Chapter 8.
Do you know where you're going?
Sam yells. I glance over my shoulder. The two of them are trailing me by a few yards but catching up. What is it about me today that makes people think I'm the one in charge?
What?
I turn my attention forward again.
You guys are following me now?
You know the city, don't you?
Goddamn alien tourists.
An explosion rocks the street somewhere behind us.
I glance back to see that Sam and John are okay, but half the block is nothing but smoke, dust, and debris now. The bank is gone. Just not there anymore. This is some next-level shit. The city's getting demolished. I gulp down my worry and focus on moving.
We need to get off the street,
John shouts. Sure, no problem. I'll just pry up a manhole cover or something. I spot a green subway lamp a block over.
This way,
I yell back, taking a left and cutting across the street. The smoke and debris roll past us, and I cough through it until we're off the main avenue and onto a side street, where the buildings block most of it. Eventually, we make it underground at one of the Bleecker Street subway entrances. We're inside for only a few seconds before the whole station starts to shake. At least this stop is empty, though that's not exactly comforting. The vibrations intensify, and I don't waste any time hopping the turnstiles. I head for the 6, since that tunnel will take me in the right direction, I think. It's hard to map out routes in my head while I'm afraid that the subway is going to explode around me at any second. Tiles fall off the walls. Pieces of ceiling rain down. John and Sam follow behind me, yelling for me to go faster, deeper into the station, as if I'm not running as fast as I can already, taking an entire flight of subway stairs in just a few steps. When we finally get to the tracks, I hesitate for a second, thinking of my mom's warnings about getting hit by a train and of electrified rails, the kind of thing she's drilled into me since I was a kid. Only I'm guessing she never imagined I'd be in a situation where a subway station was literally falling down around me because of some damn alien warship. I jump down. There's a splash when I land. The tracks are full of liquid that rises over my shoes, and I hope to God that it's just water. At least I guess the third rail is out because I'm not electrocuted. The boys follow behind me, and John's flashlight hands come back on to light our way and scare a fuck ton of rats. Oh, gross, 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 I repeat to myself as I keep running into the tunnel. Everything around me is shaking. It feels like the earth is going to swallow us. And it kind of does. There's a crack above me. I look up just in time to see a giant piece of cement falling down on top of me. I scream, covering my head. But I don't die. When I look up again, my nose is a few inches away from a slab of tunnel ceiling that's just hanging in the air. I think for a second that maybe I'm the one doing this somehow, but then I look back and see John. He's on his knees in the gross water, and it looks like he's being crushed, muscles all straining like the weight of the world is on top of him.
We have to hold up the ceiling! Sam shouts. We have to help him!
His hands go up in the air, and I see a hint of relief flash on John's face. I look down the tunnel. I can't see the other end, but I know if I just keep going, I'll eventually be close to the Brooklyn Bridge. Then, it's just a little more running until I'm on Wall Street. Till I'm with Mom. I could just go. Could leave these guys behind. Maybe they'd be okay without my help. But a thought I've been trying to silence rings in my head. You don't know that she's alive. It's true. I know it is. I just don't want to consider it. But it's getting harder to ignore when there are aliens obliterating entire buildings in front of me. When I've seen everything that I've witnessed in the last few hours. And as I look back and lock eyes with Sam, his expression frantic, veins bulging in his face and neck, I know I can't abandon these two. It's not what Mom would want me to do. Besides, I owe them one. I raise my hands above my head, pushing up with my telekinesis. I can feel a little bit of give in the cement as my strength is added to theirs. The pounding in my head comes back, and I bite my lip, trying to ignore it. John takes a few rasping breaths as he moves forward until all three of us are standing close together. Behind him, some of the tunnel, or more likely the whole street above, falls with a splash.
Walk, walk backwards.
Dude sounds like he's about to pass out.
Let it go. Slowly.
We go one step at a time, trying to keep the tunnel reinforced with our telekinesis. It's heavy at first, but with every move it gets worse, almost unbearable. My arms get all wobbly. My brain feels like it's going to explode. Shit, 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 I keep repeating. John whispers some kind of encouragement, but I'm concentrating so hard on not getting crushed that I hardly hear him. I glance over at Sam, who looks like he's having just as bad a time as me. We keep walking, little by little, letting bits of the tunnel fall when we're a safe distance away. At some point, it actually starts to feel easier. I think my mind muscles must have suddenly bulked up before I realize that we're just finally getting far enough into the tunnels that we've managed to outrun the collapse. Finally, we can stop holding up the ceiling. When I let go, I feel sick. I've totally overexerted myself. I take a few shaky steps to the side of the tunnel and lean against it. The last bit of lunch in my stomach comes up, splashing in the filthy water at my feet. John takes a few steps towards me. As shitty as I feel, he looks even worse. Sam's by his side in a flash, struggling to hold the guy up. Oh man, is he dying? I ask. However much ceiling we were holding, he was probably carrying 4 times as much, Sam replies. Help me with him. I hesitate for a moment, trying to make sure that I'm not going to collapse, before I pull John's arm over my shoulder, the duffel bag butting up against his side. He's sweaty and gross, and I try not to grimace. Or think about how gross I probably am by now, too. He just saved my life, I murmur. Yeah, Sam says. He does that kind of thing a lot. We only get a few steps farther into the tunnel before John's flashlight hands turn off. Then he goes slack. Oh, fuck, he's dead, I say.
No,
Sam corrects me.
He's just passed out.
Why would you say that? I don't know. This morning I didn't even know there were aliens. Jeez. We trudge on. The tunnel is dark, but I manage to take out my phone and turn the flashlight on, which lets us see a little ways in front of us. At least the collapse must have scared off all the rats. It's a small miracle. John weighs a ton, and if it weren't for our combined strength, I doubt Sam or I would be able to drag him far. But we do, somehow. We pass what I think is the Spring Street station. It's hard to tell because the station platform is completely caved in as well. Destroyed. I don't say anything when we pass by it. Just shake my head and focus on keeping my legs moving.
Do you have any idea where we are?
Sam asks a few minutes later. I try to envision subway maps in my head. Maybe under Little Italy? Or Chinatown? I think the Canal Street station is next.
Crap.
What?
Nothing. I think we were over here earlier. We were heading the other way, to Union Square.
Long ways from there now. Sam just grunts in reply. Eventually, we come to a spot where a bunch of tunnels run side by side. There's a train that looks like it must have stalled out or jumped off a track. Whatever happened, it's abandoned. And dry.
Let's rest in there,
Sam suggests, and I don't know that I've ever been so happy to get on a train before. We lay John out on one of the benches, and then just stand there catching our breath. My whole body is tense. My arms and legs shake from overuse. The drumming in my head is getting worse.
Well, Sam says finally, we should probably let him rest for a little while.
I move my phone's flashlight to Sam's face like I'm in some kind of cop show. He winces, raising a hand to block the light.
I guess it's just us,
I say, dropping my duffel bag to the floor of the train.
And I've got lots of questions for you, Sam the Martian.